Well, real quickly, let me give you the 10. Starting with travel, then knowledge, weather, communication, evangelism, pandemics, digital tracking and money, WMDs, peace and prosperity, and the hatred of Israel. Number one, Book of Daniel. If you go to the Old Testament, remember right here, Jesus is quoting from Genesis, Ezekiel, Daniel, Isaiah, and Zechariah, plus little snatches from almost every other book in the Bible. But look what Daniel says. It's on your slide. Daniel 12:4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words of this book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Oh, wait. Birth pains. Frequency of travel. The intensity of travel. And the kind of like total global visibility of travel. Let's just talk about it. 3,000 years ago, David hired wooden boats powered by wind to help bring special wood for his temple. His son Solomon actually built and operated his own fleet of wooden ships that sailed, listen, with wind power to travel extensively between Africa, Europe, and parts of Asia. Jonah walked by foot to a port in Israel 2,800 years ago. So we're talking 3,000 years ago. People were going by sail power and oaring or paddling power, including David, Solomon, Jonah. And Jonah sailed, bought a ticket and sailed to a place we would call today Spain. 2,000 years ago, next on your slide, the Apostle Paul traveled all around the Roman world on mapped highways by foot, by horse, by chariot, or aboard a wooden ship carried by wind power in its sails. 2,000 years ago. 500 years ago, Christopher Columbus embarked on a journey across the Atlantic Ocean in search of a sea route to China. He also probably went to the dock on foot. He probably boarded a wooden ship, not unlike that of David, Solomon, Jonah, or Paul. So not much has changed. 3,000, 2,000 years, 500 years. 200 years ago, Benjamin Franklin walked to a dock, boarded a wooden sailing vessel, and went on his trip to France to try and aid the American Revolution 200 years ago. It was just over 100 years ago, everything began to change abruptly. Just over 100 years ago, with the advent of the steam engine, no longer was man tied to manpower, wind power, horsepower. First the steamship, then the locomotive, then the automobile, then the airplane. And the whole world changed. Today? Well, not today, because 16,000 airplanes are right now, you know, out of service because no one's flying. But in 2019, there are routine scheduled flights from any continent to any continent in a matter of a few hours. Many shall run to and fro. And we do it without thinking. No one in the history of this planet ever traveled like we were able to travel. The time that we're traveling is unprecedented. That slide you see that last year in 2019 that finished with the beginning of the virus, 4,590,000,000 people flew on airplanes. Wow. Many, frequency, intensity, visibility. I mean, no one doubts any of this. By the way, when you do travel on airplanes, I always think about one event that happened to me. You see on that slide? I remember flying to speak to a conference. And as I got on the airplane, I was so happy. It was one of those airplanes that was empty. It had just been fixed in the airport hangar. And it was being sent back to another city. And so I got on there all alone with my Bible. I couldn't believe it. I was going to study the whole time. And just before the plane took off, another passenger came and sat across the aisle from me. And I thought, huh, why don't you sit somewhere else? And so I sat there in my seat. The plane took off. I got my Bible out and I was studying the Bible, getting ready for a men's retreat. When all of a sudden the man across the aisle started talking to me. It was the last thing I wanted to do. I was getting ready to teach a group of men how to live the Christian life and obey the Lord, and that was most on my mind. So I kind of turned a little bit in my seat. I would just smile, and I would keep studying. And he kept ringing the call buzzer, and the stewardess kept bringing him those little tiny bottles of alcohol that you can get on an airplane. And so after two or three of those, he got very conversant, and I got turned in my seat, and finally he said, what are you doing over there? And I said to him, I put my finger down in the Bible where I was. I said, I'm studying the Bible. I hoped that that would make him stop talking. He said, hey, I have a question for you then. And I said, what is it? And he said, my Hispanic housekeeper doesn't speak English. Why does she come every time she sees me in the house and look at me and say, you go hell? And I looked at him, I said, because you probably are. And I turned in my seat, my back to him, and went back to studying the Bible. And it was right then that I felt the Holy Spirit's baseball bat hitting me. And I thought, you're on an airplane. There's only two of you on the airplane. This guy is scared to death to fly. He's drinking alcohol. He is talking to you and interrupting you. And now we found out that God had sent his Hispanic housekeeper with limited communication ability in English to tell him he was destined for destruction. He needed salvation. And in that instant, I turned in my seat and I started sharing the gospel. And it was one of those under 1 hour flights. And before I got too far, we were already descending. So I quickly reached into my pocket, got out my gospel tract, wrote my name and phone number on the back, handed it to him, and I said, tell me your name, and I wrote it down, and I started praying for him. I ran this way to my next flight. He ran that way to his flight. He was going hunting somewhere, and I never saw him again for 6 months. 6 months later, he showed up where I was speaking, came up to me, said, I found you, and then he looked me right in the eye, and he said, Dad. I'll never forget that. I said, what happened? He said, as soon as you left and went toward your plane, he said, I went around the corner, I dropped to my knees, took out that track, read it, and followed what it said, prayed, cried out to the Lord, and he said, God saved me, and he's changed my life. Did you know we need to think about the basics, why we're here on earth? As we see the end of the world coming, we're supposed to exhort each other, seeing Christ is coming, to be in the Word, to let it change us, to cause us to pray, and to want to share. How are you doing in the basics? Are you in the Word? Were you in the Word today? Are you reading the chapters that we're going through? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you asking Him to change you by meditating upon His Word? Are you breathing out to Him in prayer saying, Lord, guide me, control me, use me? Are you sharing the gospel? See, that's what this course is all about. Trend number two. Here we go. Global knowledge. Look what Daniel says on the slide. Daniel 12:4. And knowledge shall increase. Knowledge would increase. We've gone from kilobytes to megabytes to gigabytes to terabytes to petabytes to exabytes. And we're in zettabytes. And they say coming after zettabytes are yottabytes. Kind of sounds like some dessert or something, you know, yottabyte that. But Daniel said, knowledge shall increase. There's one word that should be on your mind when we think of increased knowledge. My phone can connect to Google, and I can type in any mathematical equation, any words, and it will find the song it's from, any words, and it will find where it is in the Bible, any place, and it will take me on a map there, any thought, and it will give me everything, the compendium of global knowledge on that topic. It's in my pocket. I have the sum total of everything that's known at my fingertips. No king, no emperor, no one in history has what you have on your phone. And now, see the second word on your screen? Nanometer architecture. What's that? Well, if I had a quarter here, I check my pocket. If I had a quarter that's about the size of the bottom of this marker right here, nanometer architecture is that right now they're making computer chips with 1 billion lines going from left to right and 1 billion lines etched into them going from top to bottom. A nanometer is 1/1,000,000th of an inch. And they etch chips the size of quarters with 1/1,000,000th of an inch wide little lines, so that that little chip right there can basically hold every book that's ever been written on Earth, just about every audio thing that's ever been recorded on that. Unbelievable. Right now what they're saying is that on the servers of Silicon Valley, there are 4 zettabytes of information. What's a zettabyte? A zettabyte is one with 21 zeros after it, and basically those 4 zettabytes of information is equal to 304 million years, not hours, years of 4K video. Years, 300 million plus years of 4K vid. I mean, with that resolution and the sound. That's how much people have uploaded on their Facebook and Snapchat and everything else accounts. And these chips are making that all searchable at any instant. Knowledge shall increase.